there, it's Julie for Dobbs. Since 1976, drivers have counted on us for bumper-to-bumper tire and auto service. And Dobbs now has more than 40 locations. One's probably close to you. Come see us today.
For deals you can use, click on gotodobbs.com now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time now for the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
I think I'm apparently on the air.
Yes, yes, I am.
You got spectacles on today.
So I was having a headache, and that's often because I'm staring at screens for too long, and so I wear these blue light glasses. And
you were staring at Blues game film from last night, 2-1 in overtime, and you were kind of evaluating it, and that's what got you. You were like Herb Brooks in Miracle, just going over film.
That's right, yep. Yeah, so it's rare that I have a
headache.
How did
Thompson stop Buchnevich? How did that happen? How did Hayes not score?
The Hayes one was the one that I thought was... There, Hayes and Nick Leddy both had some nice breakaway opportunities there.
Look at you. Holy crap. Hold on a second. We're talking about the game. I'm not just talking by myself. I thought you were watching Caitlin Clark.
I was watching both. It's actually...
Picture in picture?
No, the move was because the Bally's app is so lovely. And
now, when you say that, what do you mean?
User-friendly. I mean, like, I remember, like, playing Oregon Trail in the sixth grade on computers with better interface than what the Bally's app got.
Scalding!
But having said that, once you get the game on, it'll stay on most of the time.
So then you don't want to exit it for fear that you will never be able to see the St. Louis Blues on your television again.
Or have to log in, not once, but you log into your account and then log in with your TV provider, and then you are gifted the opportunity of watching a hockey game that's going on right down the road from you. However, the ESPN app is much more simple to use.
Yes, it is.
And so you fire that up. So I had the most...
So you're watching that on your phone?
Like, for like some of the time where I didn't want to switch over, I would just have the Iowa women's game on my phone and watch it that way. And so I could kind of do both, as opposed to trying to go through the whole rigmarole of switching off the Bally's app to go to ESPN and never returning and like never getting the action. So that was the best plan for me.
I see.
So I tried my best to do hashtag do the work.
You do the work. Oh, but I don't think anybody would ever question that.
Yeah, but like that's like the real grit and grind. You know, everyone can come
switching
in here.
Apps.
And, yeah, everyone can come in here and gab. You know, that's what we do. We do a lot of gabbing.
We do.
But
vamping?
Like, vamping, right. But to watch the games that you're going to later gab on, that's where the real warriors
that's
come out.
That's what separates the men from the boys. That's right. That's what I always felt about, like, Bob Costas, Joe Buck, Al Michaels, me. Right. That what separates us from the rest of it, I hope you don't take this wrong, you people, is that we watch the games that we talk about.
Right. And in full, too. Like, you know, we don't necessarily, like, we don't even go out and get some hummus, you know. We stay locked
in. I'm a meat and potatoes guy, so I don't even know what that is.
Right. That it's exclusively meat and potatoes.
That's all I am is meat and potatoes. Proletariat. Get involved here on the program, 314-399-9646. Or you are welcome to participate in the YouTube chat and be a friend of the feather. Jackson, what have you prepared for the audience today?
Tuesday topics.
Tuesday topics. That's new. Tuesday's usually a half and half. So I'm a little off balance, like I got hit with a jab.
Yeah, little breaking ball for Matthew Liberatore. It must be
middle relief.
That's right. Coming up later on the half and or the Tuesday topics.
Wow, so much teasing.
But this is kind of a half and half because there's a big sports business story.
Why not call it a half and half? Why Tuesday topics? I bet the audience is going to be pissed.
Variety is the spice of life, Tim.
It's my credo. And that's why we're both polyamorous.
For a number of reasons. Polyamory and changing the name of the dumbass little questions I pick every single day.
What if my boys are listening, and how do I explain that language to them?
I'll talk to them. I'll let them know.
All right.
Yeah, that's not acceptable.
Thank you. Good for you.
The language you use is what makes you who you are.
Wow.
Not your actions.
Man, that's going to be like on an office park somewhere. all right, Jackson, let's get underway with Tuesday topics. Text in Air Comfort Service, 314, a text line 314-399-9646. And then the YouTube chat is a hotbed of activity. 92 people are waiting for us, including Cat Dad Gamer, John Scores, Droid Effects, Jeff R., Deep Voice Dude, and Dan Jansen.
Hey, Dan.
All waiting.
Hi, Dan. Let's kick it off. The Blues lose a tough battle last night with VGK, and a huge swing of points occurred. What did you make of Bannister rolling out an 11-7? What about the myriad of scoring opportunities in the third period? What's the outlook looking like for the rest of the season and their playoff chances?
Oh, Jackson. Now, here's, I'm going to start with this, and I hold no rights. Is that clear?
Clear to me.
Crystal. I hold no rights, but I, for some reason, I don't feel like it's over, but then when I look at the math, I go, well, then I kind of don't know how it wouldn't be over.
Right.
You follow me on this?
Yeah. I mean, it's an absolute long shot.
So let me lay out the math for the audience. And I realize you asked me other questions, and I'm taking this in a different direction.
Take it however you want.
Well, I mean, I was really surprised by the 11-7. It struck me as a strange. It'd be one thing if the team had been spiraling, and this game could determine it all. But even in its loss to the Avalanche last week, they played a good game. Even in their loss, I really messed up my pronouns and my singulars and my plurals there, and I would apologize.
Right, because again, words define you, not your actions.
Thank you for saying that. But looking at the string of games going back to that game against Boston 15 days ago, they had played some really good hockey, minus a period and a half against Anaheim and a period against Ottawa. I mean, it had been pretty damn good. So then you go, why mess with it? Is it a panic move? Is it an overcoaching move? How did they let that happen?
Right.
And then you look at the minutes by Scandella and Perunovic, and you go, well, they really didn't do that much anyway, so why are you... Now, it would be results-oriented to go, and then look how they were stretched thin, because you weren't expecting to lose Saad for the number of minutes you did. You weren't looking expecting to lose Sundqvist for the number of minutes you did. And those things happened with the hit of, well, both of them, actually, from McNabb, and then Shen in the penalty minutes. So that was strange to me. And JR texted me right after the show yesterday, Jackson, and he said, hey, I'm sorry, it doesn't look like Blay is playing. It looks like they're going to go with an 11-7. And then I'm thinking, oh, I guess there must be an injury. But in reality, they just wanted to get Bolduc out of there. And Drew Bannister afterwards said, we wanted to put our 20 best players out there. Those were our 20 best players. And if you look at the third period, in the third period, that's when we had our best period. So if you want to say the guys were drained by the higher allocation of ice time because of the lineup, I would present the third period as a reason to say that was not the case.
Sure.
The issue was actually the first period. With all of that said, I'd really like to have, like, a, whether it be conversation one-on-one with Drew Bannister or an off-the-record, just to understand it. Because, again, if you have things going well, you don't mess with it.
Right.
And so that's why that surprised me. And I realize he went with that kind of an attack in the third period against Minnesota on Saturday, but still I was surprised by that when JR texted me at 11:10 yesterday. So this was before that even happened. And then my compadre, loyal listener of the program, former TMA producer, now law school grad, obviously wishes he could be in HD2 radio, but it's not for everybody. Kevin Lorenz, before anything even happened, said, I am not a fan of this. I don't know why they're doing this. This strikes me as a strange move. So with all of that said, that's disappointing. And even with it established that, yeah, that was strange, they did have so many opportunities, in particular in the third period. But at the same time, to present all of the scoring opportunities that the Blues had and then not talk about all the scoring opportunities that Vegas had would be a false argument, because Vegas should have / could have had plenty of more goals than they did. But once again, Jordan Binnington keeps the Blues in the game. And so considering you get that penalty shot in OT, and as you made reference to Kevin Hayes' opportunity, at that point, you're going, oh my God, they're going to get this thing. But here's where I was before it even went into overtime. It was already a bit of a loss, even if they won the game, because Vegas got a point. And so that was my mindset. It wouldn't have been a full-on, yes, here we go, 2 points back, because that wasn't going to be the case. Best case scenario was 3 points back once it went to overtime, because Vegas was picking up a point. And then as it plays out, they get the additional point. And now you look at the math, and the math, Jackson, is no friend of the feather this morning here on Balloon Party. Here is the math. Keep in mind, the Blues have 10 left, whereas Vegas, playing tonight in Nashville, that'll be a test. They have 11 left, and they're 5 points up on the Blues. So let's just do a little math there for you.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do a little math.
Thank you. Let's say Vegas goes 5-6. I mean, we're going low end here.
Sure.
But let's just say they do that. Then that means they would finish with 95 points, assuming none of those are overtime losses.
Got it.
95 points. The Blues have 10 games left. That means the St. Louis Blues would have to win how many?
9?
Well, I guess theoretically that would get it done, but they would have to win 8 right. to get to 96 points right, if right, Vegas right, is right. sitting at 95.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is with the Blues going 8-2 and Vegas going 5-6. That gives you an idea of the bare minimum, unless you want to go Vegas goes 4-7. But keep in mind, two of Vegas's 11 remaining games are against the Wild.
Right.
So you got that going on as well. And yet, and I don't know why I feel this way. I'm just telling you, I honestly feel... I don't feel like it's over, but maybe it's because I don't want to feel like it's over. But, you know, the only thing I can draw parallel from relative recent history would be Missouri football in a quest of a championship. And once they lost to Georgia, I knew it was over.
Right.
My emotional investment in the following games against Tennessee, Florida, and Arkansas were, you know, 50% of what they were for Georgia and Kentucky and LSU when I believe there was a championship out there.
Yeah.
So my point in bringing that up to compare and contrast is I don't think I just say things based on hope. For whatever reason, I still feel like they can actually do it. I mean, hell, I mean, their ceiling now is 100 points, but that would require going 10-0. Is that realistic? Seeing as they have Edmonton, Nashville, Carolina, Dallas, all still out on the schedule, obviously it would strike you as being tough. At the same time, you have some buttasses out there. The Blackhawks are out there. You get two against the Sharks. You know, you've got the Calgary is not a playoff team. They've got Calgary, which is, you know, 3-7 in their last 10 and have lost 3 in a row. So perhaps it can happen. I don't know.
They're up against it.
But they are up against it, and it's a shame. It's a real shame because that one was there for the taking. And just a point in how much it makes a difference, and then you can sit there and revisit the games earlier in the year where you're playing some subpar opposition, and you just came out and you were dead, like the Columbus game before the All-Star break.
Right.
You know, I mean, so... It's a shame. It really is a shame because I would love to see this team in the playoffs. I would just love, number one, I want to see these guys get that experience. And number two, I'd love to see what Jordan Binnington could do because it would be worth a flyer to see if he can carry him through. I mean, who would you say they could absolutely not beat? And I realize, well, they wouldn't be a favorite against anybody, perhaps even the Wild, who they're currently ahead of. But when you have somebody playing at the level that he's playing, I'd love to see him get that shot. I mean, they were a huge underdog to the Colorado Avalanche the year the Avalanche won the Cup, and the Blues were the team that gave him the toughest test. And why? That's because of Jordan Binnington. So in that sense, it sucks, but Jeremy Rutherford's article this morning on The Athletic really was kind of an obituary on the 2023-2024 season. And I don't want to accept it, but I realize that's what the math is telling us. Your thoughts. Are you moving on to the offseason or are you still holding out hope? 314-399-9646. And of course, you're welcome to participate in the YouTube chat. It's 101 ESPN YouTube channel where plenty of people have gathered to talk it over. 118 people are in there right now. Jackson is talking it over.
I have a question.
I am taking questions this morning. I am.
This might not be as endearing as it sounds in my mind, but it's a question I really want to ask.
Okay.
Is the normal breakdown 9 forwards and 9 defensemen? Or is it 10-8?
Oh, no.
Well, you know, 8 would make sense for defensemen because then you could have 4 lines of 2.
But then 12, we have 12-6-2.
12-6-2. Okay, 12-4. Okay, gotcha. So they're adding an extra defenseman. Got it.
That's what it was.
That makes sense because then you'd have 4 lines of 3 and then 3 lines of 2. Okay. All right. Makes sense.
That was a sincere question. It's somebody wanting to get to know the game better.
Well, I was reading like JR's tweets and stuff yesterday. I was like 11-7. I was like, is that like a play? Is that like some sort of?
You thought that was some kind of musical playing at the Muni in March?
Well, like a trick play. Like is that like the picket fence?
Like Omaha.
Right. I didn't know.
Dennis Hopper.
Right, the great Dennis Hopper. May he rest in peace.
Friend of the show.
One of the greatest.
12-6-2.
Okay, that makes sense. That the math on that makes much more sense.
So in Drew Bannister's mind, 11-7-2 were the 20 best players.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay. I don't know. I shouldn't say I agree or disagree with it. I just found out what it meant, so.
I think that was a great moment of self-awareness.
Thank you.
That was a zen moment on this show.
Yeah, well, you know.
But an 11-7 isn't necessarily unheard of.
Sure.
They run it out before, but they hadn't been doing it as of late. And as JR presented this morning in his column, if you're really, and he doesn't believe that was the reason for the loss, but mm-hmm. he goes, if you really think that was the reason, then you're saying that you missed Bull Duke or Dean's production, and that would have made the difference. And is that really a realistic? And then, of course, the complaints about, well, you know, Saad was out, and then Sundquist, who knows when we're going to see him again.
Rough.
That did not look good. That of course, became results-oriented by the fact that, you know, they both got either hit hard or hurt.
Right.
And then Shen immediately went to Saad's defense by going after McNabb. So, with that all said, bottom line is disappointing. Further bottom line is it was there, and same thing as has been the case for a long time. Slow start, goaltender keeps them in the game, then they're trying to either scramble or hold on for dear life at the end, and sometimes they're not even able to hold on for dear life, and they wind up giving their opposition a free point going to overtime, and then the Blues have to try and win it. It worked out against Minnesota twice. This time it didn't work out against Vegas. Your thoughts are welcome. 314-399-9646, Air Comfort Service text line. And then you're also welcome to participate in the YouTube channel chat. Balloon Party Mafia, very active in there. Cat Dad Gamer is holding things down. I hope everything's all right with Tiny PP. I think he might be hiding out somewhere in Sicily.
I hope he's on vacation.
In Metapolonia, because I'm concerned.
Always struck me as odd. It's like, send him right where like everyone's from. Like that doesn't seem like he was hiding very well.
He was protected by Fabrizio.
Yeah.
And Fabrizio turned on him. Spoiler alert, by the way. It's a spoiler alert.
Apollonia, that was a tough moment there.
Yeah, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Thursday.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Unless you want to drive.
This is Balloon Party on 101 ESPN.
We're right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Welcome back. This is Balloon Party, 101 ESPN, and the 101 ESPN YouTube channel. If you want to see Jackson's glasses and my St. Louis Steamers hoodie. I get asked to wipe this hoodie quite a bit. Can you see it on the here's the issue. I'm about 6'4", and so we have to lower the chair every morning.
Mm-hmm. You can see the billowing of steam coming out of the
smokestack. If I stand up, does it help? Yeah, there you go. See it now.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah, if you keep your back erect.
Yeah, I'm stretching. Look at that. Look at the pecs.
Yeah.
Look at the pecs on this guy.
You're ripped up.
It's like Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Marshy Marsh and the Playful Posse.
Coming up at 2 p.m.
Yeah, Fastlane. Jackson, we got a mic drop.
Yeah, we did.
All right, what do we got going on? Is this a Blues mic drop? Is this a Cardinals mic drop? Is this a... What do we got?
Cardinal mic drop from our friend Steve.
Okay.
Oh, great, an announcement. Maybe there's something about Dylan Carlson, or maybe they signed another pitcher.
Stop it! Who the hell is Metro Booming? Can he pitch? Can he play center field? That's all I want to hear about is how you can make this team better, Bowtie. I'm sick of it. Come on. And what's the media in this town doing? Watching women's basketball. If it wasn't for Adam's rib, they wouldn't even be out on the court. Biddles, get your ass down to the stadium and hold these losers accountable. I want a World Series, and I want it now. Tired of it.
Wow. Jackson, Steve, not happy with you watching Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes last night and not being down at Busch Stadium to yell at John Mozeliak about the current roster.
It's a fair criticism.
Are you going to go down there today?
Well, it's just another example of me not doing the work.
You know? I agree with that.
Like I should be down there saying, what are we doing with, you know, Young Metro? I don't care if he trusts us or not. We don't have a center fielder.
If Young Metro don't trust you, I'm going to shoot you. Halloween. Tell him, man. I'm going to shoot. Was that Dexter Fowler's walk-up music?
Yeah, Jumpman.
Yeah.
Jumpman, Metro Boomin on production.
Parkway North Vikings. So there is a Metro Boomin bobblehead, and that's what Chairman Steve is unhappy about?
Yeah, Metro Boomin night at the ballpark, which is great.
But he was hoping when he got a notification that there was going to be an announcement that it was Jordan Montgomery. And alas, it was a bobblehead.
Yeah. That's just poor timing, considering that the right fielder and the center fielder had a collision yesterday.
They did. Dylan Carlson. There's something about getting named starting center fielder on this club.
That's a real curse.
Last year, Tyler O'Neill was named starting outfielder, center fielder to be specific, and a week into the season, Ali Marmol called out his effort running from second to home, set a tone for the campaign, and Dylan Carlson was named. At least Victor Scott was sent to AAA. Dylan Carlson, most likely starting center fielder Thursday night in Los Angeles, opening up the season against the Dodgers, and then he collides with Jordan Walker. Walker felt terribly about it, as you might imagine.
Yeah.
He said, we're taught at a young age, and I think anybody who played the game kind of knows the program here. Center fielder calls, you let up. That's the deal. But he said he never hurt him. Feels terribly about it, especially with as well as he's been playing, as hard as he's been working. And now it's a matter of time before we find out what the situation is with Carlson. But Ali Marmol said it does not look good. He does not feel good.
Yeah, that's brutal. And I feel terrible for both Carlson and Walker. Certainly worse for Carlson having to deal with the brunt of the injury there. It's the miscommunication thing. Probably doesn't happen. You know, it's such a tiny thing that you never think would happen. And it sucks too, because we were talking yesterday about Carlson starting in center field and what we thought about that over someone like Victor Scott. And you never want to see something where, you know, someone gets bumped down because of injury, especially in spring training, this late in spring training too. I mean, they're starting games in 2 days.
I
feel terrible. He's 25 years old.
This is kind of it.
Yeah, he's had a great spring.
It's a shoulder. I mean, who knows?
Right.
You know, I mean, maybe it's a shoulder bruise, but God, if there's some kind of structural issue, that's a serious situation. Yeah. So you don't know. Make that clear. You don't know. But either way, honestly, I really am like down for him.
It sucks.
I am because this is it. And he may not be able to play here for a while.
Yeah.
From a Cardinal perspective, then the question goes, okay, now do you go with Victor Scott? I'm anxious to see. Do you think that they will?
I think they'll go with Michael Ciani.
But Ciani's the only guy who can play center field, so you don't have a whole lot of choices.
Right.
See what I'm saying? I mean, what happens if Ciani gets hurt?
Oh, yeah. Well, then that's...
See, that's what I'm saying. Even if you don't want Victor Scott, you need the insurance, I think.
Right. But then if you're going to bring him up but not play him, you're kind of stunting the development.
This is an emergency situation.
Certainly.
You can't go into a game with only one center fielder. I mean, I guess by definition, other guys could theoretically go out there, but that's a different animal. You know, you can be a left fielder and then move over to right field.
Right, right.
But center is a different
deal. Yeah, Jordan Walker in center could be a real issue, and yeah, you definitely don't want that. Yeah, I get, and then Donovan, I don't know what their thoughts on that is.
If you're asking me to, Tim, you got a wager. And it's the last thing I want to do.
Yeah.
All right, it's the last thing I want to do. But you're telling me, Jackson, I have to? Because this is part of the Tuesday topics presented by Little Piddles?
Yeah.
And the Piddles Corporation?
Well, we're LLC right now.
Oh, you guys are an LLC?
IPO coming soon.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Nope. Get in now.
That operating agreement based out of Delaware?
You know it. Come on now. Shells. Where are my shells at?
Well, here's the deal. I'm going to wager that they bring him up.
Okay. All right. So then he would be riding pine to start, theoretically. I don't know. Maybe they put him in.
I don't know. Ciani's plan was he was going to be a glove guy. He was going to be a guy. They have a lead in the eighth inning.
The wheel man.
You know, once every week. And he then would get his chance. But now he becomes the only guy who plays center field. You know, one of the things when you sign older people is you can run into injuries. And it really isn't all of that alarming. The issue is the age thing is only hit them with one guy.
Right.
It's the younger guys. So the age thing might, you know, hit them with a pitching staff.
There is something with that age with pitchers, especially, is like the numbers for pitchers who get hurt is actually higher in younger pitchers because the Tommy John thing.
You're correct.
And then the older pitchers have already had it and they're probably already okay and they've kind of found their stride.
So you like...
No, not necessarily, but like the thing of like, there's plenty of reasons to be upset about the starting rotation, but like the fear of like like shoulder and arm injuries for older pitchers is actually less than what you would think.
All right.
But having
you
said that.
You are correct that it's almost like a rite of passage as a pitcher that you're going to have Tommy John at this point in baseball history. Right. All right, there it is. Question two is in the books. The second half of Balloon Party is coming your way. My name is Tim McKernan. That's Jackson Burkett. You can watch us on YouTube. You can listen to us on 101 ESPN and the Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers podcast. Go back and podcast via the 101 ESPN app. Text into the show via the Air Comfort Service text line 439-9646. And then we got a production notice here. We got breaking news. The famed OnlyFans teacher, Brianna Coppedge.
Right.
She right after we get done with this show, she is going to be with us live, and I guess it'll be on YouTube, youtube.com/TMASTL, for a live interview in the TMA studio. I mean, this, how much more can you give us, Tim McKernan? That's what Joe Buck said on September 8th, 1998. And I don't know.
Right.
I just feel like all I do is give.
There's that famous meme of after the chicken sandwich came out of Popeyes and a poor employee sitting on the bench outside in the back, hands in their head. That's going to be you today around 2 p.m.
After all of this incredible broadcasting excellence. So that's coming away if you want to watch that. YouTube.com/TMASTL. She was in the building on KC95. She was going to drop by TMA, but then she was on KC until 10. We didn't think that Balloon Party would be the right setting.
Yeah, well.
I did. Jackson overruled me.
Right. I was like, hey, I got these Tuesday topics, and I've worked, you know, extensively for over 25 minutes on them. So I really
want to
get to
it. And you were going to ask the big question on, is it normally 10 forwards, 8 defensemen.
Well, you
really wanted to like let that breathe.
Yeah, like you're giving in-depth hockey analysis, and I am the avatar for those who are not as into hockey and trying to learn.
That's exactly right. Are we supposed to shame people who have a yearning for knowledge?
That's the thing. It's like
we don't kink shame. Are we going to knowledge shame?
I mean, it's going to be.
You effing kidding me out here today?
We shouldn't gatekeep a sport that, in all honesty, if we're all going to look around to be honest.
Where's Ryder to get us out of the segment?
Could use an influx of new fans. Hey, listen, we can be critical or we can be blind.
That was provocative.
Yeah, that's what left you. That was your Carlos Beltran 2006 right now.
Frozen right now. Ladies and gentlemen, the program is called Balloon Party, and it airs on 101 ESPN.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
We're right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Welcome back. This is Balloon Party. It's 101 ESPN. My name is Timothy Michael McKernan. That's Jackson Burkett. And 101 ESPN will be broadcasting live from the Budweiser Brewhouse inside Ballpark Village next Thursday for opening day. The home opener is almost here, and 101 ESPN will be set up just steps away from Busch Stadium with the opening drive, BK and Ferrario in the fast lane, all coming to you live next Thursday, April 4th, from Ballpark Village. Our opening day broadcast is brought to you by Holiday World and Splash and Safari and Budweiser. Jackson, you may have noticed Balloon Party not included.
Until they invent some sort of teleportation device, it is going to be difficult for us to do TMA from 7 to 10 on the 105.7 HD2 and the TMA STL YouTube channel.
And the TMA STL app, which is the bee's knees.
Absolutely. And then the next minute, because we're on at 10:01 here on 101 ESPN, be at Ballpark Village.
So you don't think it's a case of not being wanted?
No. They love us. Jamie Rivers might not, but everyone else loves us. And so that is the case. They just haven't invented teleportation yet. But when they do, we'll be there.
Core issue for me is I will be out of town. My sister is getting married out of town next week. And so I will be out of town. But I guess you're holding down the fort and doing the show by yourself and going to kind of get the fans ready for opening day and the final stretch of the Blues push to shock the world and make the Stanley Cup playoffs and then win the Cup as an 8 seed. That's going to be fun.
Should be around the Final Four and then the last stretch before the NBA playoffs and the play-in tournament. So I think I'd have an absolute lot of meat on the bone there.
So you would ignore opening day and the Blues run to the Chalice.
Yeah, I would read the lineup. I would break down how many forwards and defensemen the Blues used the night before.
Nice.
Just get that out of the way at the beginning.
Right. I mean, that's what Costas and
right. Bach and then I get right into
Brandon
like
Burns used to do.
Like, do I think the Knicks are good enough to make a run? And like, what's Mitchell Robinson's return?
How do you transition
returning?
From how many forwards and defensemen there were to the Knicks?
Oh, I just, clear my throat and then just continue or like, I don't know, play some sort of sounder like, and then I just go on to the next topic.
Yeah, that's a good sounder. Do you have a third question on this Tuesday topics?
Yeah, actually, really, this stuff really interests me. So I.
Now, hold on a second. Now, what that tells the audience is the previous 42 minutes did not. That's what that's what it told me.
I don't want
to. And it included a mic drop from Steve, my assessment of the Cardinal outfield situation, and a wager that Victor Scott is going to get called up.
Yeah.
And my breakdown of last night's unfortunate festivities at the Enterprise Center, which featured 11 forwards and 7 defensemen, not 10-8.
I should amend that and say that stuff obviously interests me. It's what I do for a living. Right. However, we talk about that day in and day out. Not to say that that's a bad thing. That's we're in a sports town,
I feel,
baby.
I feel an NBA question coming. I'm just telling the audience.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I feel.
But I think it relates to a much bigger picture.
Oh, God in heaven.
Well, I'll let the people decide.
Have fun. 314-399-9646. I'm opening up the Air Comfort Service text line as we speak, and I see the Grape Ape Auto Detailing, right? I mean, is there anybody you can count on more than the Grape Ape Auto Detailing? Anybody? And he says, you let me down each and every day, Biddles. I hurt. And then you jab the knife in further with a freaking Spurs score.
Jeremy Sochan. What do you say? He stinks. God, the Spurs are bad. But they beat the Suns. What I would say to that is that's what I call consistency. I let you down day in and day out, but that means I'm doing the work.
Right. You're precise.
Yeah.
You're missing the fairway 30 yards right, but it's 30 yards right every time.
Listen, yeah, exactly. Precision is what we call that.
It's not accurate, but it's precise.
Right. I just need to aim differently.
Right.
It's always good when you see someone aim dead left. this guy's a ball striker.
Jackson, what is this question?
All right. Former Mizzou Tiger and current Toronto Raptor.
Oh, sweet mother of the Lord. We're talking about a Canadian NBA team.
Right. Well, hockey plays in Canada. Jonte Porter is currently being investigated for a prop bet situation. So the story goes, a game in January against the Clippers. His numbers were set. He went under all of these bets. Now, what's interesting is the next day, DraftKings released their, they do like a daily report, and he was the most, like, people made the most money on his prop bets.
Oh, wow.
They made the most. Now, that might not be odd. There's a lot of NBA players, you know, one-off. It happened again in March, a situation where his prop bet numbers were set low. He went under all of them, came out of the game with an eye injury that had been plaguing him, did not hit, all went under. And again,
there was a bunch of action on him?
He was the most profitable player.
Wow.
Now, it would not be uncommon for a bigger name player to be the most profitable prop bet on a given night, except for the fact that Jonte's a two-way player making like $415,000. It is odd for someone like him.
So he could be susceptible to a little, how do you do?
So the NBA is investigating Jonte Porter at this very moment about the situation. That's all we know at the moment. No claims are being made. They're just investigating.
These are validated. These numbers from the DraftKings Sportsbook are validated.
Yes.
This is not like a guy on Twitter made an observation.
Right. These are the daily reports that DraftKings puts out to the public. Okay. He was the most profitable player on the prop bets.
Wow.
And there was also attempts at major action. Most of these books cap prop bets usually around $1,000 or $2,000. There were people trying to put a $10,000 prop bet in. It's a big eye raiser. This is all via ESPN. Very big eye raiser. We also have the situation with Shohei Ohtani going on at the very moment. We have the situation with JB Bickerstaff, who's the coach of the Cavaliers, who has been said in an interview that he has gotten some really messed up messages, death threats from sports gamblers who acquired his phone number. You had Tyrese Halliburton say sometimes he feels like just a prop. His social media is filled with people saying, where's my money? Do you think that sports leagues and sports books working so close hand in hand could lead to some of this nefarious activity that's being alleged at the moment?
Well, I think, of course, it could. But at the same time, I could wake up tomorrow and be 6 foot four. So I think when you say could, the question becomes cause and effect. And the reality is this stuff has been going on for a long time. But now that it is legalized and integrated with the leagues, whether it be ownership, as some franchises had ownership in some of these daily fantasy sites that are now sports books, or the leagues just having huge sponsorships with these organizations, that it's getting way more attention. Furthermore, social media allows it to spread way more quickly. But you've had gambling scandals before, you know, the existence of FanDuel and DraftKings. And I know you're not taking the other side of it. I want to be clear on that. And then also, therefore, the players are, quote, more accessible, albeit via DMs or mentions, whereas the players with previous scandals were not in that spot. So with that all established, Jackson, the answer, of course, it could. The thing that I find amusing, and this is one of the things with the Ohtani press conference yesterday, is you had what was it, like a DraftKings sponsorship scroll under his ESPN.
That's
a huge story on Shohei Ohtani during his press conference,
right
going across,
right?
And it was just like, yeah, the self-awareness is peaking here.
Someone in the production studio was like, oof, forgot to change the default settings here,
right? So the Jontay Porter, when I was aware of it, it certainly isn't getting near the attention of the Shohei Ohtani one. I'll tell you, here's why. I don't know. You and I were talking about this off air, actually, before you gave that Spurs update. And what, the Spurs won?
They did. Edged out the Suns.
Right. That I don't know what happened with Ohtani, but I know most people, I feel like, who are following the story, think he is covering something up. And I hate that. Because my read on it, and you asked me about it when it broke last week, is I absolutely could see how it's possible that he did not know that this money was being taken out of his account. And now, I realize a bunch of people are going, how in the world could he not know that $4.5 million are being taken out of his account? I understand that. If this was the everyday person, $4.5 million, and you go, how would somebody else have control of your account? I get that. But keep in mind, he can't even speak the language. This is one of his closest friends, you know, his Angels teammates back in the day said it was like his brother. Mm-hmm. He's entrusted that account to him. And I could see it being the case, because it's not affecting him being able to pay bills, as insane as it might sound, for $4.5 million.
Right.
But with that said, just because I could see that, that doesn't mean I'm saying that that means it absolves him. But what I find unfortunate is the judgment is, oh, they're covering it up. Baseball's covering up. Ohtani's covering it up. And it just goes in spirals. And then in the social media, it turns into a forest fire of
hearsay, essentially.
Yeah. So with the Jontay Porter one, you have a report for a guy who's making $415,000. And that is a different set of circumstances.
Certainly.
He's not in a spot where $4.5 million can come out of his account, because my guess is he doesn't have $4.5 million.
Yeah.
And he's not in a foreign country, albeit he is a member of the Toronto Raptors. You've oftentimes said Canada is America's hat.
So many times. Yeah.
And so he's not in the situation that Ohtani is in which he needs an interpreter to handle his day-to-day business. And furthermore, if you're making $415,000 as opposed to whatever Ohtani's now sitting on, I don't know what he's currently got.
Inked to make $700 million. So I think most creditors would be like, okay,
in addition to the marketing dollars, as crazy as it sounds, I mean, let's say, and I know this is a pittance to you and your classmates at Ledoux, but let's say you were making $700,000. I'm not trying to insult you, but let's say you were making $700,000.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Like my, yeah, I'll just leave it at that.
Boy, I wanted you to finish that off so badly.
Well, it's like, you know, my tax refund was like that. I'm a charitable guy.
And $4,500 your guy had taken out.
Right.
Well, that's actually what our math is on the $700 million and the $4.5 million.
Right. Yeah, you're not wrong there.
So it didn't necessarily impact his ability to make a payment if he is managing money such that he's taking out a loan on a vehicle, for example.
Right. And that's, yeah.
If his interpreter instructed him to do that and set up a deal with the finance guy. So it actually is believable. With the Jontay Porter thing, you're making $415,000. $40,000 is going out the door right away to the agent. Then you got taxes. He's in America's hat. It's not as necessarily friendly as, say, Florida or Texas.
It's not a two-way deal, so things are, he's had injury issues.
Point being, logic would dictate that guy is more susceptible to some kind of outside dalliance.
Yes, absolutely.
And you have the DraftKings sportsbook.
The reports.
Reports.
Yeah, because him just going under is not, and he came out early in both the games. He came out with injury early in both
games. Is that right? Oh, did he really? Yeah. I got a break. It's 10:52 and it's just terrible time management. We have another segment left. It's the Balloon Party 101 ESPN.
We're right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Balloon Party 101 ESPN. My name is Tim McKernan. That's Jackson Burkett. In about 5 minutes at youtube.com/TMASTL, Brianna Coppedge, the OnlyFans teacher, is going to be on with us, Jackson. I mean, how many shows can we do in one day?
You line them up, I knock them down. That's what I say.
Amen.
Do as many as we can.
And especially here with Balloon Party and what you've put together for Tuesday topics.
I think it's been a real banger of a show.
I agree with you. What is your fourth question for Tuesday topics?
I guess I can. I have a little bullpen survey, Cardinals bullpen survey. You want to get involved in that?
Your passion for it is lacking, candidly. That's my read, that you don't feel real strongly about this. You would rather revisit the Spurs and Suns.
I do, but it's kind of like watching Killers of the Flower Moon, Tim. You want to watch it all in one sitting to get the full effect of the film.
I see.
You don't want to break it up into sections.
Right.
I don't think it would behoove you. And so because of the time, this bullpen survey kind of leads to one big culmination.
Okay, I'll trust you.
So I'll just do one of the questions.
You've never led us astray on this show before.
Do you think the bullpen issues of last season were overshadowed by the starting pitching issues, or do they go hand in hand? Or do they go hand in hand?
Yes and yes.
Okay.
I don't think it's any either or, to be real serious about that. I don't think it was good. I think it had health issues, and you also had guys had bad years. But in addition, if it's stretched thin, it's an automatic recipe for disaster, which is why they went out and signed guys who were innings eaters to try to prevent that. So, absolutely. Yeah. But my answer is yes to both. Is that acceptable? I don't know. I mean, you're the chairman of the board here.
I think that's what sports discourse kind of needs more of, is like less definitive and more ambiguity.
Like JJ Redick.
Yeah, like sometimes things aren't as cut and dry and there are some gray areas. Like, yes, the Cardinals bullpen was bad, but that's just not like the end of the story. They were bad because they were stretched thin. And the two go hand in hand. Starting pitching sucks. Oftentimes the bullpen's going to follow.
For example, what time is it now? Probably 10:59. But I mean, I go back to that. Like, I was floored on the Ali Marmol extension. Floored. For real. Yeah. Not take smithing, you'll hear. Not screaming to try to make more money. Mm. Just being honest. Mm. Stunned. But I also wasn't of the opinion that the problem was Ali Marmol last year. I don't think he did a great job.
Certainly.
Specific to the O'Neill thing. I thought that was just kind of a basic mistake. But just because a guy makes one basic mistake, you don't go, well, he's done.
Right.
I thought the roster was bad. So therefore, I don't think you can necessarily go, well, both, get rid of Mazalek and get rid of Marmol. I mean, if you thought it was the roster, then you can't necessarily blame the manager. If you thought the roster was good, then you go, well, then the manager. But still, either way, I'm not giving him an extension after they finished in last place and won 71 games. That's just like, who's the PR guy? Who's allowing that to happen? How does the ownership allow that to happen? Anyway, we got to go. It's 11 o'clock. Tim McKernan, Jackson Burkett, handing it over to BK and Ferrario. Jackson and I going over to talk it over with Brianna Coppedge. YouTube.com/TMASTL, Tim McKernan Show podcast. For Jackson Burkett, I'm Tim McKernan. This has been Balloon Party on 101 ESPN.
You've been listening to The Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.